This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. You're listening to Pressing Matters, the show where we go behind the headlines and explore issues driving the press. I'm Shazana Mukhtar. Last week, Malay Daily Harian Metro was rapped by netizens and government officials for a controversial headline which appeared to link the sudden death of a nurse with the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, the headline was seen as triggering doubt over the safety of vaccines at a time when we really want to see the vaccine rollout achieve the 70% inoculation of the population in order to achieve herd immunity. So the backlash highlights the impact that news headlines can have on public perception of vaccines. And that's what we're exploring today. Can the news media do a better job of reporting on vaccines? So, using data collected from 2019, a team at the International Islamic University of Malaysia set out to study how Malaysian newspapers cover the issue of vaccination. So, joining me on the show to discuss lessons that can be drawn from their research is Dr. Wan Nurshira Wan Muhammad Ghazali, Assistant Professor of the Communications Department at IIUM. Good morning, Dr. Wan Nurshira. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for inviting me.
So I wanted to start with, why do you think the issue of vaccination is so prone to misinformation? I mean, what is it about vaccines that make it ideal for misconceptions to flourish?
Okay. First, vaccination is not a new issue. The debate about vaccination has been going on for quite some time. And from our research, the anti-vaxxers have been more pronounced in 2016. And we believe that was the starting point where we need to do something in order to address these issues.
So when you say that you first noticed anti-vaccine sentiment coming up in 2016, was there a trigger situation? Was there some kind of episode, or did it just come up organically, like out of nowhere?
All right. It started with an article by Andrew Wakefield, in which he said that he associated that a vaccine leads to autism, which later on the article was taken back because he actually did not have sufficient evidence to make such a claim. Of course, action was taken against him and he was no longer with the health institution, but the consequences, the impact was so powerful that it leads to many, many other episodes of vaccine rejection. And in Malaysia, because of social media, I believe it is because of the social media, since people previously have no platforms to express their concerns, their awareness, but now they can do so using social media. And I think, and based on our research, people started to use social media and also the online platforms as their sources of information. So many people started to discuss about the needs to be given the right information about vaccination and the fear of what will happen to the children if vaccine are given to their children. So the discussion is open, and in the sense that maybe the open discussion could lead to miscommunication, misinformation, and that is when it gets worse. Especially in the case of Malaysia, it gets more pronounced. Even though we know that anti-vaxxers are not that many in Malaysia, but they are very vocal. They propagate the ideas on the dangers, the side effects, and the sources of information. We do not know where this story is coming from, and the credibility of the information and the credibility of the sources who've been telling these stories about the side effects and so on and so forth.
I find that so interesting because when you mentioned Andrew Wakefield, his study was actually it came sometime in the 1990s, I believe. Mm-hmm. But the fact that it's still circulating, that kind of misinformation is still being spread about, even though it has been debunked, even though it has been proven false, it just shows how pernicious and pervasive these kinds of wrong information can be, and that it reached our shores even fairly late, it still manages to have an impact. So I understand that the research is still ongoing, and the paper that you published looked at a subset of that data, focusing on Malay newspapers. But your broader research looks at both Malay and English news media in Malaysia. So what have been your main findings so far?
So basically, we, of course, when we do research, we have certain limited time period to complete our research. So that's why we go for Malay newspapers and also English newspapers, I would like to highlight as well. And we found that Malay newspapers did not give coverage about vaccination as much as the English newspapers. So in total, 75.8% was given by English newspapers, and the Malay newspaper only gave 23% coverage on the issues of vaccination. Of course, by looking at the numbers, the Malay newspaper did not really give enough or sufficient exposure on the issues of vaccination. And even though the English newspapers gave quite a high coverage on vaccination, but still, when it comes to the content, it is still not sufficient to address the issue of vaccination and to address the issue of misunderstanding, misconceptions pertaining vaccination.
Why do you think that coverage of vaccinations in Malay newspapers was so limited compared to English newspapers?
I believe this might be due to these the target readers of the Malay newspapers. So some newspaper organizations, they have certain target readers, and that is why the issues that they focus on will be different from one paper to another paper. So I think that one, we need to do more in that research, interviewing the media practitioners themselves, then only we get a solid results of information of why not much coverage were given by these two newspapers when it comes to vaccination.
Mm-hmm. And I think your study pointed out that the coverage that the newspapers did give vaccines, it tended to be very
reactionary reporting, we call it. They tend to focus more on objective reporting. When there's events, there's coverage. When there's nothing happen, so there will be no coverage. For example, when a child died due to diphtheria, if I'm not mistaken, then only the news will covered about the issue, but no follow-up stories were given on the issues, maybe measures, maybe health, what a health institution have to say about this issue. No such reporting can
okay.
be seen.
So they didn't really give it a lot of attention. It was just one-off, this is what happened,
yes.
and no follow-up from there. Okay, let's take it to the present, I guess. We've seen the Malaysian COVID-19 vaccine rollout start last month. So what are your initial observations on how the Malaysian media has been covering this ongoing vaccine story?
Okay, because of COVID-19, now that the government gives more attention to health issues, the awareness is improving. Here and there, I can see various platforms are being used to communicate about vaccination. Even though it's related to COVID-19 vaccination, at least we know the government is now giving attention to vaccination, the importance of health information, and more coverage is given now than before, I would say. But still, there are many loopholes that can be improved. Like what you said at the introduction just now, the example that is for me is triggering, especially to those who are not sure, who are uncertain whether COVID-19 vaccine is safe. For example, this headline reads, Norway 23 dead after receiving Pfizer, BioNTech vaccine. So that headline is not the local news, but the headline was picked up by our news organization. So for us, this is considered as sensationalism kind of headline, which is not suitable in the context of vaccination or COVID-19 vaccination. Because from what we can see, the government is working hard to get people to get vaccinated and to reach the herd immunity. But what is happening right now is that the headline is not helping much in that sense, because the impression that I got from this headline is that, okay, if I take vaccine, I will die. So I will not take vaccine for that reason. And I am glad to comment that the Science, Technology and Innovation Minister was also quick to pick up on this issue and to advise the media to be careful in terms of how they report, especially the headlines, because we understand the media is trying to get readership. They try to get people to click on the link and read, go to their website and read the news. But still, I believe that we need to be more responsible and sensitive, because vaccination has becoming a very sensitive issue, especially during COVID-19.
Mm-hmm. I wonder, Dr. Wanshira, how do you think the media should balance reporting on both the good and bad of vaccines, I suppose, both the pros and cons, because there are adverse effects to vaccines, you know, and I think media organizations want to be able to present those facts as well. But how can it be done in a way that doesn't, I suppose, create that unnecessary alarm in the community and create more distrust? How do we balance those prerogatives?
Okay, in order to make sure that the media can be a trusted source of information, of course, they need to balance between the risk and danger and the benefits. It's a reality that I think everyone in the society nowadays are very critical. They do not receive information as it is. Nowadays, they will critically analyze the information. So whether you like it or not, you have to give both sides of opinion, the good and the bad ones, because we should understand that the public has the right to access to health information. So by doing so, we are actually exercising our responsibility to get people to be exposed to different sides of views and to help them, to assist them in making decisions on issues related to their health.
I'm speaking to Dr. Wan Nurshira Wan Muhammad Ghazali, Assistant Professor of the Communications Department at the International Islamic University of Malaysia. When we come back, we'll discuss how the media can better frame stories on the COVID-19 vaccine. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9. Hi, if you've just joined us, this is Pressing Matters on the Morning Run. I'm Shazana, and with me today is Dr. Wan Nurshira Wan Muhammad Ghazali, Assistant Professor at the Communications Department of the International Islamic University of Malaysia. We're talking about how news media covers vaccines based on research that Dr. Wanshira and her team are carrying out. Now, the study pointed out that countering misinformation isn't just about volume. So it's not just about putting as many stories on about vaccines, but it's also the framing of the story that's important. So how should news organizations frame these stories in order to persuade people who are hesitant about vaccines that it's okay to take them?
Framing is a useful framework to illustrate how media make certain issues significant to the public. And as I stated previously, before COVID-19, media was only giving general information about vaccination. When there's events, there's news. So based on the framing theory, we can do a lot more than just giving information during certain event. We can use frames not only to give knowledge, but also to diminish uncertainty about vaccination and also correcting misunderstanding about the vaccination. So in our research, we come up with several types of frames that the media can use so that we can address the issue of vaccination adoption mm-hmm. more strategically. The four frames that we come up with based on this theory and based on the current situation, the first one is informative and awareness. So the general stories, the news that can be written from this story is by presenting information using facts, evidence, scientific data, current development about vaccination, special announcement on vaccination, how vaccination works, who will benefit from them, and when vaccination should be given. So this informative frame is actually to give awareness about vaccine. And the second type of frame that we propose is proactive frame. Okay, proactive frame is trying to address the behavioral aspect of individuals, in which the news story should focus on actions that the readers should take when they read the news. For example, if you're not sure about this information, contact your doctors. If you want to know more about this, go to this hotline. If you think that you have these problems, go to these people. So this proactive frame is to get people to take action instead of just, you know, thinking alone and discussing with the wrong people. You need to go to the right sources. Mm-hmm. And proactive frame also asks the media organization to provide who are the sources that are reliable, mm-hmm. credible for the people to refer to. Another frame that we propose is warning frame. Okay, warning frame is will tell readers to about the consequences if they fail to get vaccinated. If they fail to adhere to certain recommendations or rules, emphasize, and this is the frame where you need to emphasize on the risks and the dangers that that you will inflict on other individuals, societies, or the nation as a whole if you did not get vaccinated. Last one is policy or action frame. This frame is actually focusing on the policy measures taken or should be taken by the government in order to deal with issues or to tackle with issues of COVID-19 vaccination. For example, I think a few days ago, we noticed like when this Penang General Hospital nurse died due to heart attack. So the news said that whoever who got injection of COVID-19 vaccination, they will get certain amount of money as a compensation. So I think those kind of news should also be played up so that people have more trust of what will happen to them. So it is the responsibility of the media to make sure that the news is consistent and all-encompassing. We are not supposed to focusing only on creating awareness, giving information, but we need to balance in the sense that being proactive, telling them what to do, giving warning, what will happen if they did not do such and such, what will happen if they do such and such, and also ensuring them that the government is actually doing something through the policy or action frame.
I think that provides a really helpful guidelines for media in terms of just the different ways that they can talk about vaccine beyond just the one-dimensional, here is the information, you know, here you go, take it as you will. So there's actually a lot more room for the media outlets to play with in terms of conveying vaccine information. I wanted to talk a little bit about the media-government relationship, because you did point out that it's important for all stakeholders to work together in order to convey, I guess, a kind of unified and consistent message that vaccination brings benefit for the whole nation. But I also wanted to ask you about how do we avoid that from, because the media does still play a role to hold government accountable, right? We do want to keep that in mind, that as far as the media wants to amplify the positives that the government is doing, it also needs to act as a check and balance where the government is maybe, you know, not doing what is best for the people.
Mm-hmm. So I think when it comes to check and balance, when it comes to issues like health, especially COVID-19 issues, we should be reminded that whatever that we do should be for the benefit of the society as a whole. So yes, I agree that the media should still play the role of check and balance what the government is doing. So I think it's fair, but in the context of my discussion or my research, I am actually focusing more on how to get people to get the right information, sufficient information to help them, to assist them to make informed decision when it comes to issues related to vaccination. But I believe that it is beyond my scope of research whether there is misuse of funds when it comes to issues like that. So yes, I still think that that is another issue which should also be tackled by the media. But in the for COVID-19 health issues, I think the media should follow certain guidelines so that we can achieve the herd immunity that the government is trying to achieve right now.
Understood. So there are multiple strains of stories that are out there. And when it comes to building that vaccine confidence among the population, this is sort of where the conversation of your paper and your research is going. Yeah. Looking at the media outlets then, what kind of gaps in media outlets do you think they need to fill in order to be able to report responsibly and credibly on health issues, especially during COVID-19? Is it a matter of ensuring that, you know, do they need to beef up on their medical knowledge, for example? Do they need more experts on their staff in order to be able to report? What do you think media outlets should be doing now that we're in the middle of a pandemic and we know that reporting on health issues and medical issues is so important?
Yeah. Yes, I agree to all the things that you mentioned just now. I want to maybe to suggest to the media practitioners, they might need to adopt certain guidelines that will help them to report about vaccination as in general and COVID-19 in particular. And like how suicide cases should be reported. Initially, the media did not really pay attention on how they reported about suicide cases, where they simply reported everything, the way a person committed suicide, what methods they used, which is wrong from the research that we found, because it actually triggers the individuals who have similar thought to commit suicide. So in reporting health issues, especially vaccination, I believe that the media should also follow the media guideline in reporting, right? And I think we should focus more on effective coverage. And maybe we should use emotional appeal to get readers to not only to understand the issue, but also to feel the importance of the issue. And based on previous research as well, this is the strategy that was used or that have been used by anti-vaxxers. They use emotional appeals to get people to not vaccinate their children based on their experience. So the media should also write more using the emotional appeal.
Mm-hmm. You were referring to guidelines on reporting on vaccines. Does each media outlet need to come up with their own guidelines, or is there like a standard guideline that that can be followed?
Basically, we are working on the guideline. We got a research grant to work on the guideline. So I don't really find the guideline on how to report COVID-19 vaccination. Mm. So that is why we come up with this research on reporting the right way or the do's and the don'ts of how to report COVID vaccination in general.
Okay, so it's a work in progress, and hopefully we'll catch up with you further down the road on how that's turning out. Dr. Wanshira, thanks so much for sharing your insights with us today.
All right. Thank you so much. You're welcome.
I've been speaking to Dr. Wanshira Wan Muhammad Ghazali, Assistant Professor at the Communications Department of the International Islamic University of Malaysia. This has been Pressing Matters on The Morning Run. Stay tuned for the 10 a.m. news bulletin coming up next. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.